Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And I'm John White.
And today we're going to talk about maintaining your yard this summer, because we know that we're going to be in the thick of summer with not even hitting the official first day of summer. We know we have to be prepared. We have to be proactive to be able to get out there. But speaking of getting out there, you still have some time to visit the Master Gardeners at the Artovinos Farmers Market. They'll be there till about noon today, and then every Saturday thereafter up until Labor Day. So make sure you take your gardening questions, your garden photographs, or just go up there and chat with the Master Gardeners in case you're interested in becoming a Master Gardener and trying to apply for this fall's class. The application is open, receiving applicants right now until the mid-August, August 15th, actually. So get your application in, visit with Master Gardeners. You're on the front lines. They know exactly what we do, and being out of the community and educating and reaching out to the folks in our surrounding area.
Best decision ever.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you can't go out to Artovinos, you can always – is it online?
The application is online, and we can also get that to you by calling the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. All right, you all, let's get into some tips for maintaining your yard this summer. So the key, of course, is always working in your yard in a consistent time.
Gardener's shadow is the best way.
Exactly. But you know what? It gets pretty stinking hot.
It does. That's why you
really
gotta get up.
That's why you start at 6 in the morning.
That's why you start. Exactly. It's early morning or it's late evening. Right. It's after dinner. It's when that sun is just beginning to set. It's still going to be really hot, but you won't have that direct sun beating down on you.
Well, and getting out at different times helps you to take a look and see, okay, where is the sun? I know the sun comes up and then the sun goes down. And to evaluate that, I know in the late afternoon, the west side of my garden just gets blistering hot. Mm-hmm. So you plant accordingly. You stop and think about that with all of your plants, and whether it's grass or ornamentals or trees or whatever. Those are things. That's why we recommend planting ahead of time for all that kind of stuff. So truly, it's different in the morning. You know, I get that nice early morning sun on the north side of my house, and then know that everything's going to get shaded as the day goes on. And there's just something about being out there first thing in the morning.
Right.
It's quieter. You don't hear the sirens as much and the screeching cars and the neighbors' kids and the dogs and all that. So it really, besides being good stewards of your garden, it's just to really be a good steward of yourself.
Now, the sounds of summer, mowers and leaf blowers.
There you go.
Exactly. That in suburbia, we call that peer pressure. Oh,
oh dear.
The neighbors out there
like
mowing
Joneses.
His lawn. Right, exactly. Got to go out there and mow the lawn.
And I don't care how many artificial turf, there's nothing like that green grass. You know, it's protecting our environment. And it's every bit as beautiful. Mm-hmm. Every bit as beautiful, if not more.
And it's cooling your house, too.
It is.
All your plants are just cooling all of your
house.
That's right. You're in the right place.
Exactly.
Help with energy
giving
consumption.
Giving you a little O2.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bonus here for some
right.
oxygen
exactly.
that we need.
That's what we all need.
A little shot of oxygen.
All right, exactly. Which we all need. So that
and
first,
it's free.
Right. So that first tip is always to find the best time to water your plants. And I think that's really important, especially as we've mentioned on our show, and if you've lived in El Paso any significant amount of time, you know that it's a, quote, dry heat. So those temperatures are going to just spike up as soon as that, you know, clock is ticking down during the day. And with those high temperatures, we have also that low humidity.
Certainly.
And if you start watering turn on your sprinkler system or turn on that garden hose, when those temperatures are too high and that humidity is really low, you're just losing all of that natural mm-hmm. resource.
Exactly. Or when it's really windy as well. You know, we've had kind of sporadic winds here the last few weeks, and I've noticed that mm-hmm. because my irrigation system is on a timer. But I've gone in, turned it off, and waited until, you know, that wind has died down and stuff. Because why should I rewash my windows?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only thing got wet.
Right, exactly.
and so forth and so on. So you really do have to keep an eye on things. And also, I think it's interesting, Denise, when you're talking about when we're watering, because lots of times I'll look out my kitchen window and my Turk's cap in particular at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I used to just fret about it. And it's all folded over and looks limp and Well, what it's actually doing is protecting itself. And I've resisted the urge. Do not run out there at noon with your hose and rewater it. Because if you will watch it, about 6:30 in the evening, it perks right back up. It opens up. It's actually kind of folded in, and so just like we do when we wear our garden hats and so forth and so on. I think that's Mother Nature's garden hat, is that those leaves fold in on, you know, and protect the plant itself. And so they don't always need more water. They're smarter than we are sometimes.
I think people a lot of times, you know, go out and it's 100 degrees. They're hot, and they figure the plants are hot. So
sure.
Let's give it some water.
Right.
And it, no, you need to find out whether the plant needs water. And again, you know, as Jan was saying, you put the water out, or Denise, that you put the water out late afternoon, the soil's still hot, and it's just going to come off almost like steam.
Exactly. Right.
And
well,
so,
and too, when we, you know, there's certain things when you're watering, especially if you're watering by hand, you know, the leaves of things get wet, your tomatoes, your roses or whatever, and there again, morning is much better time, because in the evening, the temperatures do tend to usually tend to cool down, not always, but and that makes a difference. So morning is the best time.
And get that, yeah, exactly. So that late afternoon, that midday wilting period, if you have it, if they don't regroup and perk back up for that morning time, then you're in trouble.
Then, right. Then you know that it's and when it gets to be 105 degrees outside, I mean, I would wilt too, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. And sometimes it's not just the water or the timing. It's also the delivery system on that. So our second tip for today is going to be invest in a drip irrigation system. And I know that, and we were talking about this the other day, John and I. We were, it's just the never-ending job. It really is. You know, you always have to be out there, you know, tinkering with. It's fun. It's challenging. Plus, it's hot. You get some water on you.
Right.
It kind of cools you off.
Cools
there
you
too.
Off a little bit.
Right, but I think there's a lot of variability with our drip system as far as the types of drippers or emitters that you can purchase, that you can even mix within one system. So I think that really helps you get that matching that amount of water flow. An amount to the particular plant that you're trying to water, because we don't have access to umpteen different irrigation systems or cycles or stations, if you will, but you have to have that variability in your bed or whatever it is that you're watering.
Well, I've been really lucky because I one of the things you're talking about, the drip emitters, I have a little octopus emitter, and it holds 8 different little poly tubes. I call them spaghetti tubes. But I love it because I can cut those to the length that I need. And, you know, and I change them. And they, you know, it's the sun, so they're going to get blistered. But also, if you mulch enough, then you cover those things up. It helps to protect the tubing, help it to last longer. And certainly that the mulch is just vital for keeping that moisture in. So invest in that and make sure that you do mulch 2 to 3 inches so that, and it looks nice. Yeah. And it really helps to keep the moisture in the soil,
right,
which is where it needs to be, not
right.
Evaporating into the air.
Right, exactly.
I know one of the big things on drip, too, make sure you have a filter.
Right.
So even though you have city water, you still may need a filter, because every once in a while the line will break or somebody will be working on a line. And
you can flush them out, too, every once in a while and let it, like you say, John, because there's different stations that seem to have better water pressure than the others. And there again, your plants have different needs.
You still have a lot of choices when it comes to drip, but it's by far the most efficient. Pretty good.
Well, it's really good for shrubs and you know, some of your perennials and stuff.
Absolutely.
But on trees, it just, you know, you need such an immense system to cover a tree's root system that those usually aren't that effective on trees.
Yeah.
I love it for my vegetables because consistent watering with your vegetables is very important, especially with your tomatoes, because they can end up with blossom end rot if you're not watering consistently. And if that's done, you know, on Sunday, Wednesday, and that consistent amount, and, you know, you may have to adjust it. maybe you have to water a little longer or cut back.
Dr. Jimmy Tipton used to work here in El Paso. He moved over to University of Arizona, and he came up with a drip plan for trees based on the water usage of a tree. And we're talking about a mature shade tree, and I think he came up with 320 meters.
Oh, my goodness.
Per tree to adequately wet the entire root system area for a tree.
And how long will you have to run it to get that water down there?
If you just ran it for an hour or so, you're putting 300, 1 gallon per hour, you're putting 320 gallons of water on per hour. And, so a tree needs water in order to get those deep root systems, but it doesn't need to be hit every day.
Right. Folks really want that lawn. So let's talk a little bit about maintaining your yard. Don't forget to feed your lawn. It's tip three today. So what do we got to do? We got to keep that Bermuda grass looking nice and
that's
green.
That's nitrogen.
Right.
Well, it eats it up. It's using it. And so that's why you need to just be cognizant of what you're putting down and when.
And that's going to give you almost a twofold payback on your investment on fertilizer. So if you keep your lawn healthy, you're going to keep your weeds out.
Right.
Right. So
keep your grass thicker.
Thicker, so they kind of outcompete those weeds. And then also you don't want to have any kind of dying grass. But also when you apply it, you also don't want to put on weed and feed products on there as well, because that's going to be detrimental to you as well. So don't look for something that's going to have any kind of weed and feed coverage.
Yeah, you want to be careful of weed and feeds because of trees and shrubs and roots.
Absolutely.
Neighbor's trees, stuff like that, because those roots will go 1.5 to 4 times the height of the tree away from the trunk.
That's it,
so they can cover a whole yard. And a lot of your weed and feed products do have herbicides in them that are meant to kill plants. They
and that's a real common question that we get. People say, well, I fertilized my ground, my grass, but my shrubs died and blah, blah, blah. And well, what'd you put down? Well, we put down weed and feed, and people don't stop and realize that the plants did not read the instructions on the bag.
Right.
And they don't
did the homeowner.
And neither did the homeowner.
Right, exactly.
So, just be cognizant of that. And if all you have is grass, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you've got plants that are in the vicinity, avoid it at all cost.
Right, exactly. So make sure you get that fertilizer into your lawn and don't just dump it on there just because I don't want to be out there mowing the lawn more than I have to.
But that's a really good.
And then make sure you water the lawn enough to get water down 6-8 inches deep at least. And that again, doesn't need to be done daily, but get it on, get it down there.
Except when you put the fertilizer on, you need to water that in very carefully. It'll burn it.
Watch for the signs of stress on your grass. It'll tell you when it needs water.
It really will. But, you mentioned about the mowing and stuff, too. And people say, oh, well, I mow every week. Well, if you're taking good care of your yard, you're going to be mowing more often than once a week. And you don't want to take off more than a third, is that correct, John, of that leaf? But you got to get it done.
Right.
Very good. So we know that your list is long of your honey-do list on your keeping your lawn and garden beautiful this summer. But we hope we've given you some tips to kind of get you off onto the right step. We want to go ahead and thank you for listening to today's show and thank Danny Gonzalez for engineering and producing Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.